Here we are in the Lord's presence, and we're grateful to be able to look at the Word. I want us to revisit, to take a little bit different track, but to revisit where we were last week about talking about renewing our commitment. And this morning I want to continue in that vein in talking about decisions, and a big decision. And so we're looking at Matthew chapter 3. Let's go back there, okay? I want to read the same passage of the Scripture that we started with last week, and saying some of the same things, and picking up, hopefully, where we left off last week, and pulling no punches, but looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, today's decision time. Today's decision time. Okay? This is it. And I'd like to start reading here Matthew chapter 3. Did I say, yeah? No, I'm sorry. Matthew 4. Matthew 4 and 18. And Jesus is beginning his ministry. And one of the first things he does is he calls disciples to follow him. That's what he does. And we have it here in 18. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus says to them, come and follow me. And their response is, and I'll make you fishers of men. And it says, at once, they left their nets and followed him. You got to hear that. The next verse puts a little bit differently. It says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, and they were preparing their nets. Jesus called them. The text doesn't have it, but we can put it in there easily enough, interpreting between the lines. Come and follow me. And it says, they left the boat immediately, and their father, and they followed Jesus. They followed him. And we see this all through the Bible. This kind of call from God to follow him. You see it in the Old Testament as well. And we see it here in the New Testament, Jesus' ministry, and the response from those who followed him is pretty much the same. Now, there are some who stuttered. I think of the guy that we call the rich young ruler. He stuttered, and there was some stuff in his life that he couldn't get past, and he didn't follow Jesus. But we see the same kind of response in those who did, is that there's this kind of response that's almost solicited from them that they have to leave everything at once and follow. We see that here with them. And then turning to the Old Testament, again, 1 Kings chapter 18, in a passage, scripture that we read, from the life of Elijah. Someone can get me some water, Mike. You usually do, and I thank you. Now here I am in desperate need of it. But in chapter 18, here, as we kind of laid the context last week, and we said that the people were reneging on their commitment, on their decision to follow God. And they were turning away from God and they were going after other stuff. And so God raised up this guy by the name of Elijah, that we understand him to be a prophet. And he was basically doing what Jesus did with those disciples that we just read about and saying, hey, come and follow me. And he's calling them back in this context, to be followers of God. they had become followers of other gods. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. And so here in this verse, verse 21, I want us to hear the way Elijah puts it, puts the call to follow Jesus, to follow God. He says, verse, I'll read the context here. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel. He was the king then of Israel. Assembled all the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If not, if Baal is God, then follow him. Decision time. Make up your mind. If it's God, follow him. If not, go for it. And then the last verse of scripture, the same one again that we read from last week, Matthew chapter, what is it, 7? Matthew chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. And well-known passage of scripture from Jesus' first sermon that Matthew at least records and puts it in the context of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And it comes a time in that sermon where Jesus, once again, in speaking to his disciples, he brings them to a crossroads. Remember the yogiism that we mentioned last week, right? When you come to a fork in the road. Well, I pick it up. You'll never know when your next meal is going to be and you could use it, right? But anyways, we spoke about that. And here Jesus is painting with words the picture of the crossroads that we all come to in our lives. These are before every one of us. And he says to them, he's saying to us this morning, he says, enter through the narrow gate. There's a narrow gate for you to come through. And that means so many things. You know, it may not be the most popular thing, may not be the most attractive thing, and it may cost you something to get through that gate. But he says, listen, there is a gate that's wide and broad. And it's a road, he says, though, it leads to what? It leads to destruction, and many enter through it. It's a trap. It's a trap. That the end of the road leads to a precipice, and you go over. And it's destruction. He says, don't go through that gate. Don't get on that road. Stay off it. And he says, and notice what he says, and that's kind of a sad epitaph, that there are many that are on it. Many. This is kind of an aside, but, you know, we talk about hell so glibly. And we even joke about it at times, well, you know, hey, see, in hell is going to be one big party. And of course, it's not. And we go all the way to the other extreme of, you know, bringing accusation against God. How can there be a hell? God, who he would not send people to hell. How could that be, knowing we know of him? And it's not my intention to get into that, except to say, if you choose the wrong road, you're taking yourself there. There's a road that's wide and broad, and if you stay on it, it leads to what? Destruction. See? Take God out of the picture as far as being sent to hell. If you stay on you're going there all by yourself. But he says, and this is the good news, but there is a road. He says, but small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life. There is a road, there is a way that leads to life. Life. And he says, and only a few will be that find it.
And that's kind of sad because, you know, most of us go the path of least resistance, you see. And those of you who have committed your lives to follow Christ, you know that it isn't always a bed of roses, right? As I have been mentioning every week since March 1st, how it is that on March 1st of 1972, I made the decision to follow Christ. Kid of 16 years old, right? On the street, strung out on drugs. Christ came into my life, and presto changeo, just like that. Dramatic, you know, 180 turnaround, started following Christ. People were freaked out to see the dramatic change in my life. The grace of God touched my life. And the thing is, though, is that, you know, it wasn't long before, you know, this whole thinking of, man, am I ever flying high? Reality hits, and it's like, ooh, man, things have just gotten a little bit worse, you know? And boy, I'll tell you, the only few that find it, because, it can get a little hot in here, you know? And this is something that Jesus is saying to us. Let me take a drink of water, sorry. Okay, now, have you ever heard the expression, all right, fish or cut bait? You ever hear that expression? You know, fish or cut bait, and I, you know, added to it or others to whatever, say, fish, cut bait, or what? Anybody ever hear the other part of it? Or get out of the boat, all right? Fish, cut bait, or get out of the boat. And what are we getting at with that idiom? What are we getting at by that saying? What's that expression saying? Fish or cut bait, or get out of the boat. What's it say? Make up your mind, for heaven's sake, choose. Do something. Get on with things, right? That's what the idea is here that's going on. That's what it means. And we have to hear that sometimes in our lives, in your life. You got to hear that. We have to hear it. Fish or cut bait. Get out of the boat. And even when it comes to following Jesus. And I don't want to go there. Maybe next week we'll look at it. I'm not sure. But Luke chapter 14. You know, in as much as there was this kind of magnetism about Jesus, Jesus didn't make it easy for people to follow him. Do you know that? He didn't? That you read it, and unless you responded like all these, like these guys responded to Jesus, it says immediately they got up, they left everything, and they followed him. Jesus says, and he says this in Luke 14, if you don't respond like that, stay home. He really does. He goes so far as to say, you cannot be my disciple. And we looked at it, we read some things from Mark Batterson's book. What is it, All in All, or All In, the book All In. I'm going to be ordering some of those. If you can tag me before I put in the order if you'd like a book. But he talks about that. You know, it's Jesus is all or nothing at all in our lives. And we have to hear that. It's almost a side of Jesus or a side of the gospel and his call to following him that sometimes we don't like to look at. You know, who likes to talk about the road that leads to destruction? You know, which is a big possibility. But we have to. And I've decided to follow Jesus. And emphasis on that. I have decided to follow him. And I said last week that there is no greater decision. There is no greater decision in your life that you can possibly make. Nothing even comes close to that decision. I've decided to follow Jesus. Has it been easy? I wish I could say yes. You know, have I stuttered? Have I stumbled? Again, I wish I could say, no, not at all. But the answer is yes. But I'm still stuck to my decision. It's a life commitment. I'll never forget the day after I had proposed to Sandra and given her an engagement ring. We were at college and I was walking around campus and the dean of students was walking by and he stopped me and shook my hand. And he says, I just want to congratulate you on the choice of your life's partner. Oh, thank you. Walked away. And as I'm walking away, I hear this ringing in my ear. Is that what I just did? You know, uh-oh. A commitment to a life partner. Oh, okay. It really did, you know, hit me like that. And there's something in this call that makes me want to stand up at attention when I hear it. That made me on that day, on March 1st. And there's something in Jesus. See, when the call is given, you know, I think about all the times in my life before I made the decision to follow Christ, that in the roundabout ways, I was hearing the gospel. I was a bad Catholic boy and went to church on some of the high holy Catholic days. What are they? Sure. And I was even bad at that, you know. And heard bits and pieces of the gospel. I can remember Billy Graham coming on TV when I was a kid and getting up and flipping the channels. In those days, we had to literally get up, we had to get up and walk to the TV to check. But I can remember, oh, Billy Graham, you know, and get him off of there. But there's something to it, though. The day that I heard the call, and it wasn't that, you know, I was sat down and someone said to me, okay, now, Bob, this is what it means to follow Jesus, points 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and, you know, here, read this paragraph. This is going to explain to you about God and the gospel and what it means to be born again and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And, okay, you got it, Bob? Uh-huh, dunk it, uh-huh, got it. Right, sign off on it. Away. No. Didn't happen like that at all. Because there's something in the gospel itself that is a power. There's something in God himself that is powerful. The gospel is the power of God, the salvation. That no explanation was necessary. See, in the call itself, it carries in as much as when God created, it says he did what? He said, and there was.
Yes.
And in as much as God spoke, Bob Rule, it's his name, come and follow me. In that speaking, there was, solicited from my life, a response that I wanted to make. I wanted to up and follow him. And there was given with that call an understanding, wow, what Jesus did for me. Wow, what he did for me. And of course, there is understanding that comes after that. And things that I had to learn and so on. And it is the same with us. But yet, just to say to you, as we look at these guys, Jesus comes walking, as it were, upon the shores of their life. Chances are they heard of him. They certainly were looking for the Messiah to come. But they had no previous prior context of having met Jesus. And he comes walking and he says, hey, come and follow me. What was it? See, there was something supernatural. There was something powerful in that. And that same kind of thing you can count on as well. That he calls us. And in that call is the power to get up and follow him. It's a decision that I don't regret making. Now, having said that, renewing our decision to follow Jesus,
is a lot like our commitments to other worthwhile things. How so? Well, let's take marriage for an example. And we touched on this. Someone said, I don't entirely agree with this statement, but it makes a point. Someone said, every marriage more than a week old, you can find grounds for divorce. The trick is to find grounds for marriage. Okay? Now, I don't agree entirely with that, but I like the part of finding grounds for marriage. And, you know, it's like if you fall in love, chances are you could fall out of love, you know, right or wrong. And so that we understand that in the most intimate of relationships, marriage, that it involves more than just a falling in love. But there was a decision that was made. When I proposed to Sandra and gave her that ring, what I was saying was, I'm deciding to make you my life's partner, whether I knew it or not at that moment. You see, but that was the decision. And you know, and so there is that kind of idea that I'm constantly in our relationship finding grounds to stay in love. I choose to love my wife. Choose to love her. And it is with other things that we commit to as well. That, you know, just commit to go to the gym. Chris? You know, and that's how it begins, doesn't it? You know, it's like, you know what? I think maybe I might try once in a while, when I feel like it, going to the gym. Is that going to work? I mean, is it? Come on. Is that going to work? Well, you might get there once, but because the decision was slipshod, to say the least, that's how you're going to fare, right? But if you say, hey, you know what? I'm committing, you know, for the next 3 months, Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays, Tuesdays and Thursdays, whatever it is, going to the gym. Well, chances are you're going to stick to the decision. At least you're going to feel guilty about it when you don't go, because you know you made a decision, right? And like with anything else, that you really don't get through it until you make the decision to do it. That's the start. And I think that as we've been talking about this renewing of our commitments to follow Jesus, that it's a very real thing in our lives that is a normal part of growing as a believer, as a Christian. It's normal. In other words, there are times in my life that God brings me to places where, you know what, I'm not as committed as I was yesterday, and I got to become more committed than I was yesterday today. God brings me to those kinds of places in my life. And it's called growing. It's called growing. Where he works in our lives. And he is leading us on. And in leading us on, we come to crossroads. We come to other kinds of decision making. We come to those places where I see, boy, you know what? My commitment here needs to be strengthened. And he says, okay. You know, you're not going to get by. It's like you've come to a time in your life where you can expect nothing more until you take this step. God often brings us. We call them altar experiences, where he brings us to where, okay, He wants us to give more of our lives to Christ. And it's a normal part of growing. Growing. And not only that, there's also a time of renewing my decision because I renege. You know? There are things that have distracted me from following through on a commitment that I made. And it's almost like, well, I'm falling out of love now. It's what Jesus rebuked the Ephesus church for. Where anybody know their love began to grow up? Yeah, lukewarm. Worse than cold, lukewarm. And that happens to us. It does. It happens to us. And one of the quick ways to get through that kind of thing is to say, okay, hey, I need to rededicate my life to following Christ right now. I need to do that. And so we have to see that there are choices that we involve ourselves, that we make, that run in competition to the choice of following Christ. And instead of being a dedicated follower, we now have become a distracted follower of Christ. What's the remedy? The remedy is, Lord, I rededicate. I choose to make good on the choice of following you, following Christ. And that's where I want to bring us today, where we left last week. And to say to you, where are you at? Where are you at? Say to myself, where am I at? And I shared with you last week how I was, where I was wrestling with a particular decision to dedicate my life, to choose, make a right choice in my own life, wrestling with something. I think this morning, on my way to church, you mean to say after that last week, Rulowitz, you didn't come to terms with that? No, I didn't want to. After you heard that message last week, you didn't do business with that? No, I'm just like you. I'm laughing, but it's serious. And this morning, on my way to church, earlier this morning, when I come over, and was it the second time that I came? Whatever. I was able to wrestle through to say, okay. It was kind of a deal, though. God, if I could say it like this, I think I could say it. Now, time will tell if it was a good way. In other words, God, if I could say it like, Lord, I'll do it, God, as long as it is your will to do it. Thank you, God. Amen. So it's almost like a condition, but I don't want to give my heart away to let you know what I'm dealing with. But anyways, I'm dealing with something. And I think I finally crossed the line to be able to say, God, okay, I dedicate, I commit to this. See, for me, it's an area where I have to say, I commit to that. And the way I'm saying it is, God, I commit to it as long as it's your will. That's not bad, right? Thank you. So that's where I'm at. So where are you at? Even in your commitment, you know, a decision to follow Jesus. You've heard this morning And that's what it takes. You know, it's like you go to the beach. Can't wait. And or you go to the lake, people jump in, you're on the shore, you're on the dock, whatever, you're in the boat. And they say, come on in, how's the water? That's my first, oh, the water's great. You know, come on in. And I feel the water, you know, it's like, well, how's the water's great. When do you know the water's great? And so you finally jump in. Oh, yeah, wow, this is great. Nice, you know. And sometimes that's the way it is. Even in hearing the call. Hey, come and follow me. You can skirt around it. You can splash a little. You know, ooh, is that what it's like? This or that. But you don't really know until you jump in. You really don't know. And for what it's worth, I just want to just close with this little paragraph here from one of my favorites, and that's Eugene Peterson from his book, The Jesus Way. He says, to follow Jesus implies that we enter into a way of life that is given character and shape and direction by the one who calls us. Another way. He's saying so much by that, but you know, Jesus is more than just my best friend. You know that, right? You know, he's my what? Yeah, Lord. He says, to follow Jesus means picking up rhythms and ways of doing things that are often unsaid, but always derivative from Jesus. You see, we're following Jesus, formed by the influence of Jesus. We're following him. To follow Jesus means that we can't separate what Jesus is saying from what Jesus is doing and the way Jesus from the way that he is doing it. And I like this. To follow Jesus is as much or maybe even more about feet as it is about ears and eyes. I like that. We say you got to put feet to it, right? You got to put feet to it. And so that's like the decision I'm calling you to make today. You got to put feet to it. More than just saying something. More than just hearing something and saying, okay. Yeah. Catch you on the rebound. But you got to put feet to it. And I'm grateful for the patience of God in my own life, the ways in which he calls me to decision, to follow him, to renew my commitment. He's patient. But it's nonetheless still there, oftentimes naggingly there. It's there. And it won't go away until you settle it. Okay. Uncle. Some of you don't know what that means. Some of you do. But it's like, okay, I give in. I choose to follow Jesus. And I'm calling you to that this morning, wherever you're at. Would you stand with me in his presence and let's pray? I'm calling you to that this morning. Whether it's a decision you've already made, or that you have to yet make, or that you need to make again. To commit, to recommit. In the front of your bulletin is that old song. You see it there? Some of you know it, right? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross, though none go with me. Still I will follow. And then the last stanza says, will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that each one of us in this room would feel in no less a way the way in which Peter and John and Andrew and James felt when you came walking upon the shores of their life and you called them to follow you. I pray, God, that each of us here in our walk with you right now, even as you've been dealing in my own life, to just make the commitment, Rulowitz, and get on with things. That in our lives by your Spirit now would be at work, this kind of thing, and that we would be quick to put feet to what we're feeling, to make a response, and to follow through. Yes, I am a committed follower of Christ. I'm committing my life to Christ. God, I pray you work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit to that end. I pray for each one in this room, God, that as they're feeling you at work in their lives, that, God, they'll not be let go. Not let go by this greatest of all decisions to be made, to follow Christ. Thank you, God. So, Lord, I commit this word to you now. In Jesus' name.